Thank you for joining us today. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Dear Lord, we come before you today and we ask, Lord, and we pray that you open our understanding, Lord, that you give us the wisdom that we need, and that you give wisdom to those who bring the word to us today, Lord. And we thank you for it. And we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Yeah. Emmanuel.
Praise the Lord. This past week, I had to go into town, and for one purpose, and I was talking to a gentleman, and he was Hispanic, and heavy accent, but he could speak English, and he understood English. And I'd given him one of our cards, one of our business cards for the ministry, and on the back, it lists the Eagle Radio Network and shows all of our times. And what he said to me, carnally, I understood. And that's when you hear something being spoken, sung, and other things in your own native language, you can understand it. And immediately was brought to mind to me, and I told him, if you want to listen to us, listen to us, but beforehand pray and ask the Lord for understanding and wisdom to be able to understand the words that are being spoken. Too many times, not only out in the world to people going to other churches, but coming right into the very buildings and areas where the Fisherman Ministry has their services, people beforehand do not pray and ask for that. If you do not pray for understanding and wisdom, how are you going to understand what you're being taught and the Word of God that is coming to you and be able to interpret it and use it in your life? Is it the spot where some people are stuck and unable to move ahead? Just a question. Each person that hears this message can look at it and understand individually where they are, how long they've been stuck there, and have they improved? I'd like to turn over to James, chapter 1. And I'm going to go through just a few verses. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Doesn't say should, it says it shall be given to him. But the next verse, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Ask and receive. in faith. For without faith, we can do nothing. We must put our faith in the Lord. Amen. And that's all I've got this morning.
Number 52.
Good morning, everybody. It is a good thing to be here. Amen. It's we got off our tenures 2 days ago, and we told the children we're home. I knew this would happen. As soon as Davey said, "You're going to speak," oh gosh. I even had Cheryl get the box of tissues ready. Yes, I know. I was thinking this morning. We'll come back to what I was thinking. We'll start with where Bob was. James, a servant of God. Megan, a servant of God. Put your name in there. A servant of God. If you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then you are His servant. That is a very humbling place to be, but also a wonderful thing. We had a terrific trip coming. Wasn't perfect. There were 6 imperfect creatures in the car. Gosh, the car itself wasn't perfect. But we serve a perfect God, and for all our cars' imperfectness, here's the short story. We check the washer fluid on Sunday evening before we leave. Turns out the washer fluid's fine, the oil's fine, there's no transmission fluid. We got it fixed Monday morning before we left. There was also a leak. Who knows how long that would have got us down the road. We got it fixed without any inconvenience. We drive, we're 8 hours from home, we're 10 hours from home, we've got an hour and a half left, maybe 2 hours, to our destination, and our car starts sounding really loud. like a hole in the exhaust. I'm, you know, kind of determined I want to get to the other side. So I talked to Steve. We ended up pulling over right as I started to smell something you shouldn't smell in a car. Stayed the night, got it fixed the next morning on the same road, 5 miles down the road. Not an inconvenience to us. Got everything done. Even found a roundabout way so we didn't hit all the traffic. Next morning, wouldn't you know, the car wouldn't start. But we have jumper cables because this is not a rarity. So we jump started and off we went. The last day it had been raining and we were driving through rain. Got an off ramp to use the restroom, fill up on gas, and we hit a puddle. We didn't go through it, we hit it, which a little discombobulated the car. Anyway, just a little. So we carried on. We got to a stop sign, looked around. The first thing we saw on our right was a tire place. The next thing we saw was the gas station. We went to the gas station, got out, and noticed that our tire rims were not, you know, the inside of the well was flapping around. It wasn't where it should be. And half of our non-existent tow hitch was on the ground. Went back to the tire place, and I asked the guys if they could come and have a look. And as Karen said, when they walked by, I said, could you check the back of the car too? And the comment was, what's left of it? So we sat there for an hour or so while they fixed everything. Tied up the front with zip ties because the underside of the car had buckled. And they let us go without charging us. And Karen thinks that was because we were so entertaining that, that was the payment. But, you know, we drove away and I thought, how do I say thank you? That was so kind of them. So I just prayed and asked the Lord to bless them. Being a servant of the Lord is it's a place where you find that a lot. We sang a song. But in the front of my Bible, I have some verses that when I wrote them and I started looking at them every day. I don't quite do that anymore. But I opened it this morning and I had written a note. We sang a song this morning. He is here. He is here with us, walking among us. How does that change? How does that knowledge change you? Knowing that He, the Lord God, is here now with us. What are you going to do with that? How does that change your day? How does that change your mindset? How does that change your attitude? How does that change? What are you going to do with it? Something to think about. He is here. That's all I have.
I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my hands
Hello, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here back home again. And a lot of the things that Megan said were things that I was going to say, and that he is here really brought that to mind when we were out there, and every turn the Lord was with us and fixed our problems just like that. Really cool. And both Megan and I'm going to speak for Megan, if I may. We both knew, we had prayed and knew that the Lord would get us here safely, and we just carried on, and through all those troubles kind of laughed them off. And, you know, it was very funny with the tire place, the Tim Tires guys, because they were very amused by our predicament. But I could tell that they had that spirit of wanting to help us. And they didn't have that thing about how much am I going to charge them. They just went ahead and let us go and said, there you go, you'll be set for a while. And the part Megan left out was the part where we got down the road, started going 80 again, 85, then felt a little scrape on the pavement. What's that? So Megan got out, and the zip ties were starting to stretch out or whatever it was they were doing, that not holding it up as well as they were. So we needed some strings. So praise the Lord, we had yarn with us. And we took the yarn out, and we just tied it around there, and it got us all the way into the ranch, including through the puddles and the ruts and the divots that were in the road out here, just fine. And I don't think I heard a scrape along the way. Not one. But it was a wonderful trip, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And let's say, to change subject and go on to what I was thinking about this week. What's really been on my mind this week is the messages that have been coming out of here, and South Carolina and Northfield, Vermont, are convicting about love, loving one another. Now, last Sunday when I listened to Brother Davy's speech about how we don't love one another, that was me. I said, you know, I'm not there. I'm not anywhere near there, and I need to get it right. And it got me serious, thinking about we really need to do what Jesus says. And in his word, he says that we can love one another. It's a commandment. And he doesn't give us commandments that we cannot do. So I'd like to read a little bit in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And that's where I have to keep reminding myself that I can do nothing. It's all of the Lord. The Lord is the one that works through us. There's nothing that we can do, except that we can believe his word and do what this says right here and abide in that vine. I'm very pleased to be out here in West Texas with the vine. We're all members of that vine if we love one another. And every single day, we get a chance, a new chance, to practice that one with another. It's a wonderful thing, because fellowship is a wonderful thing. And it says here in 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue me ye in my love. So we are to love others as Jesus loves us. That's a tall order. Like Brother Davy said last week, it's easy, but it's a simple statement, but it is not an easy thing to do. It is very difficult when you really come down to it, because love is not about receiving it back from someone else, but it's about giving it out and not caring whether it is given back to you or not. And that is agape love. And philios love is all about loving somebody so that they love you back. So, you know, that's what the world loves. But Jesus loves us with agape love. And he wants us to love others with agape love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, here it is, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Are we willing to do that? Lay down our life for our friends? That is a tall order. That's what I'm talking about with the love commandment. It is not easy, but it's what we must do. And then I'm going to read one more verse. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So that is what we should strive for, everyone, to live and love the Lord and love others as the Lord loved us.
Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Pour in, Lord, let me pour it out. You know, Charlie was talking out of Genesis this morning. And I just want to read a little thing here. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When Adam sinned, an interesting thing took place. when he ate of the tree of knowledge, the law of thermodynamics was brought into play. It was brought into being. The law of thermodynamics is what causes us to die. Because under the law of thermodynamics, all things start out perfect and proceed to imperfection. It is simple to see this in operation. Take a car battery, hook a light up to it, leave the lights on in your car. You come out later on, that battery's dead. That's the law of thermodynamics in action. But there is a way to overcome that. When you put power back into that battery, it becomes alive again and can be used again. All right, now I'm going to go over and read you a verse out of Matthew. And it may seem totally irrelevant to what I just spoke of, but we'll see if I can pull it together. If I can, I know the Lord can. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy ye for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now there'd be some people that say that those verses deal with the church being the bride of Christ. I got news for you. It has nothing to do with the church being the bride of Christ. It has to do with it. He's using in parable form a ritual that was done in the East. In Asia, that was sometimes done in the Middle East, where the bride would pick her 10 virgin friends that would serve her on her wedding night. And the bridegroom did not know who they were. He had no idea who they were. So it was the bride that brought the virgins with her, and they were received. But when these others showed up, notice she didn't answer the door. He did. He didn't know them. Now what's this got to do over there? It has to do, believe it or not, with the law of thermodynamics. Because that without replenishing the oil in that lamp, the flame went out. What happened on that earth was that the law of thermodynamics went into play and the people did nothing to counteract it. Their oil ran out. Only one had oil in his life. Only one had the Spirit of God in his life. Oil here represents the Spirit of God. And if you do not feed that lamp, which is your soul and your spirit, with that oil, you too will go out and become as they were before the flood. You'll become selfish, self-minded, lazy, self-willed, prideful, rebellious, thinking only of yourself and not of others. It is the love of God that attracts the Holy Spirit. The love of God is what brings the Holy Spirit and moves the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to live in you and live in your life. You want the Holy Spirit to move through you. Only through the love of God will the Holy Spirit move through you. Only by emptying yourself of your pride and your own will and your own thoughts of pleasing yourself can you bring the Holy Spirit to move through you. I said one time years and years ago, take a glass and fill it with paper towels. See how much water you can put in that glass. Oh, it's true. You can put enough water and it'll flow over. And some might say, oh, well, the glass is full of water. But I say, no, it's not. Reach down and take that paper towel out and see how much more water you can put in it. I'm that glass, and I don't have as many paper towels in me as I used to. I'm still pulling them out. But by pulling them out, I leave room for more of the love and the Spirit of God. It's not something that is done naturally. The law of thermodynamics is at work with us every day, every minute, every hour. And unless we do something to prevent our oil leaving us, fading out, our batteries going dry, if you will, then one day there'll be no spark, there'll be no flame. And there may not be time to get it started again. When he's talking here in this parable, and he says, you don't know what day or hour the Lord cometh. That means a lot more than the day of the Lord when he comes and blows the trumpet. We all go to meet him. Every single one of us, we have that day and the hour will come to us. Not one of us will escape that. Not one of us can avoid it. Every single one of us will meet the Lord. And the day and the hour it happens, we do not know. It could happen in our sleep. It could happen in our walking around. We don't know. I remember something my mother told me years and years ago about a man in Maryland who hated God. And he thought he was greater than God. And one day, she heard this man during a rainstorm and lightning and thunder shake his fist and said, God, you can't do any better than that. You can't hit me with that lightning. Out of nowhere came a honeybee, flew into his ear and stung him. And the man died. If you know anything about honeybees, you know they do not fly in a storm. But this one honeybee was flying in that storm on a mission to find that man and execute God's judgment. Never, ever think you're greater than God. God is greater than all of us. And because of his love, we live. Because of his grace, we can grow. And because of his mercy, we're forgiven. If we will but receive. I think it was Bob who was talking earlier in James. Let any man who lacks wisdom ask of God, who give liberally a bread and not to all men. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Think not that that man will receive anything from the Lord. The receive is something you do. The giving is what God does. God gives it. You have to receive it. God can stand there with his hand out. He can stand right there with his hand out. But you have to reach up and take it. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to make you take it. You have to receive it. And if you're double-minded, you won't. But if you're single-minded, humble yourself. Depend totally on him. You will receive it. And you will be blessed. Amen. Amen.
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Cause your love came down. 'Cause your love came down. 'Cause your love came down. And it saved me. And it saved me. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already gone. This grace that brought
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words that came to us today. Father, we pray that all those that hear this message hear it with the same strength that we have. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us as we leave this place and head out into the world, Father. Protect us from the things that can harm us, and let your word live in us, and let us live in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.